It is time for our weekly roundup of state capitol news on the State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March the 12th. We will get the latest on mining in Wisconsin, voter ID news, a suggested recall election date. Plus, we'll preview what's coming up this week during this last week of this legislative session. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, will bring us up to date on the issues making news under the state Capitol Dome, and we will also hear from a guest after 7:30 who says that Republican lawmakers want to roll back a number of issues of importance to women's health with a spate of bills coming up for consideration this week. We will welcome your input and questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Joining us first, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
Lots of stuff happened last week while I was on vacation, so I need you to bring me up to date. I did see a headline in the weekend papers that the Government Accountability Board was suggesting June 12th as the date for the recall elections, the general election for the recall elections. What does this mean, suggesting this date?
Well, it means that the Government Accountability Board staff, that is the state's elections agency staff, is recommending that you have a primary basically mid-May and then the election in June. And to accomplish that, they need a couple things. They need the Government Accountability Board to sign off on their plans. The Government Accountability Board meets today.
Okay.
Generally, the board goes along with a recommendation like this, but it's up to them. And then after that, they need, more importantly, a circuit court judge to go along with them. They need Dane County Circuit Court Judge Richard Neese to say, I will give you this extra time. And remember, this is the same judge that denied the Walker campaign an extension to look at recall petitions, to look for additional errors in recall petitions.
Why does the GAB want the two extra weeks?
I think the board will say its case is different in a couple ways. One is that under a different court order, which has gone through, you know, procedural twists and turns, but a different court order out of Waukesha County ordered them to look for, to do more exhaustive search to look for duplicate signatures. So the Government Accountability Board says, we're on our way to doing that. We've reviewed the petitions, the recall petitions against the governor a couple times now, but we're not done looking for all the duplicates, and we can't finish it by the March 19th deadline that this judge laid out for this. So we need more time if we're going to do that. The board's also going to say that, because of various election administration issues, you have this election in early April that's regularly scheduled, and clerks, elections officials need a month to finish up with their work on that election. They need to clear out their memory cards. They need to, allow time for any kind of recounts in these local elections. They need to do the canvass. And so Elections Board Director, Government Accountability Board Director Kevin Kennedy says that asking for this 2 weeks hits the right balance.
We want it to be convenient for the voters. We want it to be cost-effective for the taxpayers. We want to make it administratively feasible for the local election officials who run the elections. We're not asking for a month delay. We're looking at a delay of up to 2 weeks. And that isn't unfair to the office holders or to the petitioners when you balance, the needs of the voters, the taxpayers, and the election officials.
And also today's meeting, the Government Accountability Board is going to look over the recall petitions against four Republican state senators. Board staff has recommended that all of those recalls go ahead. That is, they don't think there are enough signatures that should be stricken to cancel out a recall. And so that's something else the Government Accountability Board is going to vote on today. Democrats are not happy with the delay. And you can expect them to argue against that in court. they say, as far as the governor's recall is concerned, that the board should know that they have the 540,000 signatures needed minimum to force a recall, and that ought to be enough to move this constitutional, this constitutional right forward. And then just, you know, from a voter turnout issue for Democrats, they feel like they do better in a higher turnout election. And if you're holding this election midsummer, a lot of college students will have gone home, and they feel that hurts them.
So if the judge goes along with the 2-week delay, that would put the primary on May 15th and the general election on June 12th. But if the judge says no, it'll be 2 weeks earlier than that.
Yeah, and so you could end up having a recall election right after the Memorial Day weekend, according to board staff, and they say that creates additional administrative headaches. But yeah, it's coming up, but it's, you know, they're all sort of on the cusp of when students are going home. You know, no matter when you hold this stuff.
Then last week as well, lots of big news with voter ID. I heard that a judge placed an injunction on the voter ID law, meaning it's...
Meaning as of right now, that for that April election, mm-hmm. If the injunction remains in place, that you would not have to show a photo ID for that election. And this was in a case that was brought by the NAACP. And that case, really, it used several kind of real-world examples of voters who say that they're not necessarily voters who say that photo ID is going to keep me from voting, but in many cases, low-income voters who lacked the necessary ID had to go get other government documents in order to get a government-issued photo ID that would work for voting. And they documented the amount of hours it took for them to do this, you know, extensive time in some cases, just by making repeat trips to the DMV or to other government agencies to get birth certificates, etc. Also documented the amount of money it took, and you know, even if it's around $40, they're arguing that constitutes an unconstitutional poll tax. So that's the case that Judge David Flanagan issued an injunction in. It comes out that day that Judge Flanagan signed a recall petition against the governor, and the governor is one of the named parties in that suit. So that's something where the Republican Party is going to file a complaint with the Judicial Commission against the judge there.
So could that change this injunction?
I don't know if it would change the injunction. I think there's a pretty good case to be made that any of these cases in state court, you know, like this one, and the one that will be decided today, they're probably all going to go up to the state Supreme Court, and that'll be the final, you know, they'll be the final say on any of this stuff. But the other one, the one that's going to be decided today, that was argued in court on Friday, and that's really more, it's a more narrow case, and it goes against, it highlights some specific provisions in the Wisconsin Constitution that plaintiffs, in this case, the League of Women Voters, say the voter ID law violated. And Lester Pines is their attorney. He says there's a reason it's important to bring this case too.
The legislature in the spring of 2011 was rushing to do all kinds of things that they had been dying to do for decades, at least the Republican majority was. And so they just rushed through. And if you think you go over there and you look, you'll see that they didn't pay any attention to the Wisconsin Constitution.
And so what they're saying, the League of Women Voters is saying, is specifically the Wisconsin Constitution spells out the right to vote for people, and it limits the legislature's ability to restrict that right. They say, the League of Women Voters says, that by instituting this voter ID policy, the legislature went beyond that power and infringed people's constitutional rights. The Department of Justice, in defending the state, said that's not the case. Carrie Benedon says that, in fact, all this does is create a way to determine, you know, who eligible voters are, that the eligibility for voting has not changed.
The photo identification requirements of Act 23 is simply a means of proving that a person is the person who is entitled to vote, the person who is registered to vote. It's not a new eligibility criteria. It's not a qualification on electors.
And so you'll hear from Judge Richard Neese on that case today.
All right. Wow. Also, we may hear from the federal courts on this redistricting lawsuit this week.
They did not set a hard timeline on when they were going to issue a decision, but the clerk for that three-judge panel that's hearing these arguments in this federal redistricting case, or that heard arguments in the federal redistricting case, said it was going to be 2 to 3 weeks, and they would issue their decision. That would be this week that you could be hearing a decision from this federal three-judge panel on the new political maps that were drawn by Republicans last year and that would give them an electoral edge for the next decade. Some of the key decisions that the judges are going to look at there, key issues they're going to look at there, is the way that the map treated two Latino districts in Milwaukee, and whether, despite high population growth by the Hispanic community there, there's actually a less of a likelihood that they'd be able to elect a candidate of their choosing under these new maps. And also the issue of whether the map disenfranchises voters, an impermissible number of voters by the way that it moves people around from even-numbered Senate districts to odd-numbered Senate districts. When you do that, you end up making people wait an extra 2 years to vote for a state senator. And so the judges could say, this map was a little bit too careless with that, and either send it back to the legislature or potentially say that they're going to redraw the lines themselves.
Wow, lots of stuff happening here. And what's this about Governor Walker setting up a legal defense fund?
This is something that the governor said in a statement out of his campaign on Friday, that he set up a legal defense fund in connection with this John Doe investigation, which has charged people who worked for the governor when he was Milwaukee County executive. We knew that the governor had hired a couple lawyers. We knew that he was meeting with prosecutors in this case. This is just sort of the next step on that. And so the question is, if he has this legal defense fund, what does that mean? And if you look at there's a little sort of primer on how these things work put out by the Government Accountability Board. And I mean, it raises the question that he's either being investigated or charged with criminal violation of certain sections of state law. The governor's campaign says, that he's not the target. But, this provision that lets you set up a legal defense fund definitely raises questions about whether he is being investigated.
Wow. And in other election-related news, we have a new candidate running for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin?
We do. And this he's been somebody who's been kind of rumored for a while now, but Eric Hovde of the Hovde family in Madison, a successful real estate business here in Madison, he's gone on to Washington to run an investment firm. And one of the areas that he says he's, that he sounds most passionate about when he's introducing himself and when he was introducing his candidacy is in talking about the bank bailout, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, that was used to keep banks afloat, when the housing bubble burst. He says that was a misuse of taxpayer funds.
Like many of you, I was disgusted by how Wall Street ripped off American savings and retirement accounts and yet were not held accountable. In fact, they were bailed out with our money, our taxpayer money, without any consequences to the executives of those firms. This is crony capitalism at its worst.
So striking kind of a populist tone there, but he is not your average Joe in the street. I mean, his investment firm actually invested in many of these banks, the Associated Press reported, that took these TARP funds, that took these government funds, after the economy collapsed there. So he's coming at it at a different perspective than 99% of voters.
He is joining three other Republicans?
Yeah, so it's crowded field over there now. We've got former Governor Tommy Thompson, former Congressman Mark Newman, and Assembly Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald running for Republicans. And for Democrats, it's Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin as the only announced candidate right now.
Well, we will talk about news from the state capitol regarding mining in Wisconsin and wind energy in Wisconsin coming up after this break. And we welcome your questions on any of these topics, including voter ID, the recall elections, redistricting, the John Doe. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be a rainy day today, especially in the north, a slight chance of thunderstorms in central and southern Wisconsin. Highs today, 48 in the north, 265 in the south. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. This is our state capitol report. Coming up after 7:30, we will talk with a guest who is worried about legislation on abortion and women's health issues that is scheduled for this last week of the legislative session. We'll talk more about that after 7:30. Sean, do you have any news on that? There's a spate of abortion measures, apparently, or abortion-related measures that are coming up this week.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about all year is sort of been pushed on the calendar in this last week, maybe potentially the last day of session. I mean, the Assembly has some bills up. One that would, involves what, sex ed classes can teach in school. And allows for them to have, prohibits their teaching of contraceptives if you're not also talking about abstinence.
Right.
There's also, provisions in there about prohibiting coverage of abortion through health plans sold through exchanges. So that's part of the federal health care law. If you're a private health company that takes part in one of those exchanges, you can't cover abortions. That's just a couple of the bills. There's a few others.
Well, we'll talk more about that after 7:30. Last week, the Assembly, I skipped over this one. The Assembly did pass a proposed constitutional amendment that would restrict recalls in the future.
Right. So in the future, somebody would have right now, there's no restriction on recalls, basically, other than you have to get the signatures. And that is the bar that, under Wisconsin law, prevents recalls from happening all the time. You got to get those signatures. Under this provision that passed the Assembly, you could only be recalled if you were charged with a crime or with violating the state's code of ethics. So, some of the people that have faced recalls here in the past couple of years, those wouldn't have happened. And so Republicans are saying that we need this because these recalls are sort of, sending the state into chaos. Democrats are saying, bottom line, you are taking away a right here from the people. And in fact, they'd have to actually get the people's okay to take away that right because constitutional amendment, it would have to pass a couple sessions of the legislature and be passed by voters in order for this to be, amended in the Constitution. So that's just getting started.
Other huge news last week, the mining company that wanted to open up this mine in northern Wisconsin is packing its bags and giving up.
Yeah, see, when you left, those negotiations mm-hmm. were still happening. And last week we had a rare situation where a bill went to the Senate floor and we didn't quite know what was going to happen, whether there was going to be a vote to pass it or a vote to kill it. And it turns out that the vote was to kill this proposal, this mining proposal that had come out of the legislature's budget committee. And it was a 17-16 vote. All 16 Democrats and Richland Center Republican Senator Dale Schultz voted no. And Schultz said that for him, the bottom line was that the bill rolled back too many environmental protections.
The people of this state have said over and over again, loudly and clearly, I'm not against mining, that they want it done, however, in an intelligent, environmentally safe and sustainable way.
And so some of the stuff that Schultz still took issues with was that under this bill, you have the ability, a mining company would have the ability to fill a stream. If that's where the ore body was, that they would have the ability to fill a stream in order to dig their mine. Also, it would create a larger area, I guess, actually restrict the DNR from monitoring water as closely to a mine as they're able to now. And, you know, a variety of other environmental provisions in there that the senator took issue with. And so shortly after that vote, GTAC, the mining company that had said they wanted to mine in Iron and Ashland County, issued a statement, said, "We get the message and we're done. We're, you know, thanks a lot. Been nice knowing you."
Wow. And if we have just a minute to go during this segment, Sean. There is news with wind energy. Those statewide standards might, in terms of placing wind turbines, might be reinstated.
We can go through this here. Yeah. This is something that when Democrats were in charge, they passed this bill that would allow for statewide wind siting standards to replace the patchwork of local ordinances. This is something the wind energy industry wanted. Republicans came to power and they blocked the rules that let those wind energy siting standards happen. But in order to permanently block the rules or to change them, Republicans have to pass a bill. So another bill that was up on the Senate floor that would have done that by Republican Senator Frank Lissay didn't have the votes last week.
It's disappointing to me that there aren't votes in this House to do something about this. The 1,250 feet is simply too close to people's homes.
That being the amount of space that these rules would allow a wind turbine to be in somebody's house. So if they don't pass the bill this week, that means those wind siting standards are back in effect as of Friday.
All right, Sean, well, keep us posted. We'll listen for your news reports, and we'll talk to you again next week, I trust.
All right, thanks.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. More of our state capital report after this news.